The Flock safety story this week has two separate threads that are both alarming in different ways, and together they paint a picture of surveillance infrastructure that has grown faster than the governance around it. First, a company insider says Flock Safety misrepresented its data sharing arrangements with ICE. Specifically, that license plate reader data was being shared with Immigration and Customs Enforcement in ways that contradicted the company's public statements to the local governments that contracted with them. That's a significant allegation because the pitch Flock Safety makes to municipalities explicitly emphasizes local control and limited data sharing.
The second thread is the behavioral abuse case. At least 50 law enforcement officers across multiple jurisdictions have been accused of using Flock cameras to surveil their ex-partners. That number, 50 officers, is not a rogue actor problem. That's a systemic access control failure. These are people with legitimate professional credentials to access the system who use that access for personal stalking. The design question it raises is whether any system that grants broad access to law enforcement without robust audit trails and access controls is inherently going to produce this kind of abuse.
Samsung's decision to ban smart TV apps that secretly share users' internet connections is a reminder of how much ambient data harvesting has become normalized in consumer electronics. The specific practice Samsung is banning, apps that use the television's network connection to route other users' traffic, essentially turning your TV into a residential proxy, is a particularly egregious form of unauthorized resource exploitation. Samsung deserves credit for acting, but the fact that these apps made it through their review process in the first place is the underlying problem.
Apple's iCloud vulnerability is the story I'd watch most carefully for long-term implications. The finding that Apple's iCloud policy left secret files accessible to former employees is the kind of corporate data governance failure that sounds mundane until you realize what secret files means in the context of a company that builds hardware used by military personnel, intelligence officers, and government officials worldwide. If ex-employees could access files they weren't supposed to see after leaving the company, the question of what files were accessed and by whom is not a hypothetical.
Google's test allowing Android users to build custom Gemini AI agents is worth noting as a product strategy move. The ability to create personalized agents that can execute tasks across apps is the user-facing version of what enterprise AI platforms have been selling for 18 months. When Google brings that capability to the Android consumer layer, even in testing, it signals where the smartphone platform wars are heading. The device becomes less important than the agent layer running on it.
The OpenAI luxury influencer retreat that sparked online backlash fits into a pattern we've been watching. OpenAI has been executing what looks like a consumer brand strategy that seems awkward sitting next to the company's stated mission of safe and beneficial AI development. Flying influencers to luxury retreats to generate social media content isn't illegal or even unusual for a consumer tech company. But it reads strangely for an organization that has spent years arguing it needs special treatment, regulatory, legal, structural, because of the profound risks it's managing. The backlash is a branding problem, not a legal one. But branding problems have a way of becoming regulatory problems when the public mood shifts.